unique call, but through Joseph, God's call to us as well. And so let's begin at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus," which really means Yahweh saves, Jehovah saves, "because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Have you ever wondered what Mary and Joseph might have done if they took a stress test? I ran across a stress test called the Holmes-Rey Scale. And they work with numbers. And any number over 300 means you're so stressed, you're bound to get sick. Now, I'll just run through these. Marital separation, 65. Marriage, 50 points. Marital reconciliation, 45. Pregnancy, 40. Adding a new family member, 39. Change in financial state, 38. Trouble with in-laws, 29. Change in living conditions, 25. Change in working conditions, 20. Change in residence, 20. Change in church activities, 19. Change in social activities, 18. Change in sleep habits, 16. Minor violations of the law, 11. So, we can maybe eliminate divorce because that changed very quickly in a night for them. Jail terms, those were out. Minor infractions of the law. But even if you eliminate those, what Mary and Joseph were facing was a score of about 435. Now, I wonder, do you think Joseph had more stress or Mary? How many would think Joseph? How about Mary? Okay. Let's not divide it between men and women. I thought the women might be for Mary and the men might be for Joseph. But I think, you know, we don't know. But I suspect the way Mary responded to the angel and the way Joseph responded to Mary, that Joseph may have been under more stress for at least a longer stretch of time. And we see that, first of all, in Joseph's call and what that meant, first of all. For through Joseph, we find out that obedience to God's law can interfere with the purposes of God. So, kind of a long title, but adherence to God's law can sometimes interfere with God's purpose. Now, there's three things about Joseph that are very clear. First of all, he's a descendant of David. The angel says to him, "Son of David." And that follows this genealogy, which ends on the note that Jesus will be the son of David through Joseph. Second, he was an honest, an ethical person. He was extremely righteous and known by that in Nazareth. And thirdly, he was shocked to find out that his fiancée was now pregnant. And he was sure not by him. So you look at those three. First of all, Joseph was a descendant of David. Now, that didn't mean much to Joseph because he was way low on the food chain when it came to being a son of David. The fact is, he was a carpenter in a backwater town called Nazareth, where people didn't expect anything good to come from. And so Joseph had no expectations. And yet, he is pinpointed by God as a son of David. The angel introduces himself. The genealogy ends on Joseph. And so what we see in Matthew is that although Mary was Jesus' biological mother, he was legally a son of David through Joseph. And when Joseph adopted him, indeed Jesus legally became a son of David. And to us, that seems kind of strange. For this would have great weight, and that would be weight enough to call him a son of David through Joseph. Secondly, Joseph was a man of great integrity. If you saw Joseph coming down the street, you would say to your kids, "Be like Joseph." You know, for a while there were people were saying, "Be like Mike," or maybe "Be like LeBron," or "Be like Russell Wilson." But today, or in that day, it was to be like Joseph. Joseph was known as a Tzaddik, which in our language means a righteous one. He was totally devoted to the law. He would never bend any rules that violated the law of God. I like what one New Testament scholar says about Joseph. His name is Scott McKnight. And this is what he writes. Joseph did not eat unclean food. He didn't mix with the wrong kinds of people. He didn't keep his carpentry shop open on the Sabbath to make a few extra drachmas. He was a Tzaddik. That was his identity. Everybody knew this about him. Nobody invited Joseph over to have ham sandwiches with tax collectors and prostitutes. He was what people wanted to be. Like a businessman in our day wants to be a CEO, or like an athlete wants to be an all-star, an Israelite wanted to be a Tzaddik. Becoming one meant you were admired and looked up to. Then you were somebody. And that was Joseph. But now we have a Tzaddik with a problem, with a moral dilemma. He discovers after 3 months of absence that his Mary comes back. And she drops that bombshell. She's pregnant. And in Jewish culture, they were as good as married. Now, you would get engaged as a girl at age 13 or 14, but then the engagement would be done before a justice of the peace and witnesses. But after that, there would be kind of a year waiting period. And then after a year, the groom would come to the bride's house and take her to his house, and then they would be officially together. But in the eyes of the courts, they were already married. So Joseph had two options. One was the real Tzaddik option. And being a Tzaddik, that was kind of where he should lean. And that was to publicly call for a session at the city gate and before the elders of all God's people and before all the community, he would expose Mary for adultery, and he would file for divorce publicly, and the divorce would be granted, and he would be clean. No one would suspect him, and he would have carried out his Tzaddik-ness very well. The other option was to divorce her quietly, to break the marriage off and just have a couple witnesses there to sign the papers, and that way he would protect her. That was the way of mercy. That was the way of compassion. Now, hurt as Joseph was by what he fully believed was Mary's betrayal, there was something in Joseph that resonated with the heart of God. Yes, he wanted to be righteous, but at the same time, he wanted to be merciful. And in that way, we see the heart of God in Joseph, but also the human dilemma we have between, you know, being righteous and being merciful. You have that someone who owes you quite a bit of money, and yet you also know that he's just had a couple financial emergencies. You have that at school or leading gems. There's a student that just doesn't put out, or there's a gem who is very disruptive. And yet you know that their family's going through a divorce. And so there's that righteousness and mercy. There's also that coworker who's just not putting out. On the other hand, you know that his wife, her husband, has cancer. And so we have to make that balance. And Joseph was trying to make that balance the best he could. But then Joseph finds out something else, something that blows him away. He finds out that obedience to one law may shed light on God's purpose. So obedience to one law might shed light on God's purpose. In a sense, the very unwillingness of Joseph to take Mary as his wife is another proof of the miraculous birth that would come out of that miraculous conception of Mary by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, as a righteous man, declares, "I can't marry her." And then overnight, as Brad so well said, overnight he changed. It must have been a struggle for him. And I suspect he didn't go to sleep right away, but when he finally slept, the angel spoke with another command, with a direct revelation from God that he could not deny. And Joseph got up the next morning and he married Mary. He took her to his home. Joseph the Tzaddik now comes to know a deeper level of God's law. A level that is both righteous and merciful. Joseph now knows that this child is not a normal human child. Mary carries within her womb the very Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. The angel commands. Joseph responds. But notice, while aged Zechariah was scared by the angel, and Mary was puzzled by the angel Gabriel, Joseph was afraid of awe when confronted by the call to marry Mary. But now God makes clear to him that he should marry her. And when Mary has that baby, it will be Joseph's duty to name him. And what a name! Jesus! Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. The very one the whole world is searching for even today is now announced to be born in Bethlehem. And to be born to Mary. Because Jesus saves totally. Jesus brings healing physically. Jesus brings removal of guilt. Jesus brings joy. Sin is what has caused the fright and the blight in our world. It is sin which is at the heart of all of our difficulties, from our own personal relationships all the way to Washington, D.C. And Jesus will break the power of that sin. He'll break it for each person personally, first of all. He'll take away the corruption, take away the guilt, take away the power, take away the punishment of sin from us. But Jesus will do more than saving us from sin. He will be saving us for something. When sin is broken, then there is room for true happiness, true peace, true joy, answered prayers, genuine assurance. Because this Jesus has a title, Emmanuel. We all know that now. It means God with us. On one hand, sin separates us from God. But when that sin is taken away, then suddenly God is with us. Matthew begins with that word, God with us. And at the very end, the last verse of Matthew tells us that Jesus will be with us now and to the end of this age and into the world to come. Those Jesus saves, he will never, ever abandon. That's what Joseph now hears. And just to assure Joseph and to assure us that this is true, the angel quotes from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke earlier and said that indeed a day would come when a virgin would have a child, and that child would be called God with us. Now, put those two names together. Sin separates us from God. But once that sin is broken, then God is with us always. God with us in human form. That's really what our whole world is aching for. I ran across a Buddhist prayer from the 12th century, and it's, I think, repeated often because it's still kept, it's still in existence, and people still pray it. He prayed it at a Shinto temple in Japan, and this was his prayer. God's here? Who can know? Not I. Yet I sigh, and tears flow. Fear on tear. Jesus, God with us, come to earth through Mary. And that changes everything for Joseph. And so it tells us, lastly, that a deeper obedience will ensure Jesus' first advent. And that deeper obedience is, first of all, so Joseph embraces this message. When the angel commands him, he does. He does respond. And the call through Joseph to all of us is, will we believe that the very Son of God came in human flesh and blood and dwelt among us so that he might be for us? And God might never be against us. Joseph, along with Mary, now believe that God had called them, had handpicked them for this very, very special task. Now, what do you think taking God's call did to both Joseph and Mary's reputation around town? Was Joseph still seen as a Sadiq? No. When he took Mary home with him, He became a source of gossip. No longer did people look up to him. In fact, they whispered about him. We thought he was such a good kid. Look what he did now. Can you imagine that? And the whispers and the whispers and the whispers would continue and continue and continue. For Joseph and for Mary, that didn't matter. They knew the truth. They knew what they were doing. Because God himself had called them into this challenging role. And so what we see here is that Joseph, the Siddiq, has found a deeper righteousness. He was ready to divorce Mary because the law on the outside said that's what he had to do. But on the other side, he now realizes from the inside out that God's law is much deeper than simply keeping the law on the outside. It also involves keeping the law on the inside. Long after Joseph went to glory, Jesus would meet with his disciples on a mountain. And there he would say to them, "Your righteousness needs to be even more thorough than the righteousness of the Pharisees, who were the Siddiq, who were the moral superstars. For I tell you, said Jesus, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God. Joseph, unless your law-keeping reflects the perfect love of God and the perfect compassion of God, you will not measure up to God." Joseph now comes to see that his righteousness, though exemplary, was only on the outside. And now he suddenly realizes that God's righteousness and his mercy work together. He will see that he was not all that righteous. He will have a perfect son. In Jesus, he will see from the inside out what it means to both keep God's law and do it out of love and compassion for others. God's law demands a kind of love and devotion that only Jesus could offer. Joseph had to come to see that. Mary had to come to see that. You and I need to come to see that only through a perfect Savior can we have that perfection that we need to please God. But also, because God is with us now, and even in us, as one of the Christian Christmas songs says, because the Spirit has come into us, because of that, we can begin to do righteousness. So Joseph was now free to keep God's law in a much deeper way than he'd ever realized. But to keep that law, he had to sacrifice reputation, he had to sacrifice comfort, probably sacrifice jobs that he had lined up, because now he was not the sterling character that people thought he was. As John Ortberg, pastor down in California, said recently, since that time, the time of Joseph, millions of people have made sacrifices for the sake of this one called Jesus. Many have given up status, possession, convenience, freedom, even their lives. And then Ortberg raises a question. If God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we might be saved, And if that son came on earth showing God's righteousness, then could it be that this very family he grew up in prepared him for what he would do? Could it be that it prepared him to sit down with people eating ham, people who were prostitutes, people who were on the fringes of society? Ortberg asks, could it be that God decided that Jesus, who would be called a friend of sinners, should be raised in a family that knew firsthand what it feels like to be regarded in the spiritual second-class category? Could it be that part of why Jesus had a heart for the unrespected people is that he was raised by a father who sacrificed his respectability to shelter his mother? Perhaps one reason he had compassion on women who were shunned by society or who were abandoned was because his own mother had been sheltered by a father when she was seen by the whole neighborhood as nothing better than a prostitute. Isn't that the kind of righteousness that goes from the inside out? That's the kind of righteousness Joseph is called to do. And we are called at this Christmas time to join them, to build God's kingdom by doing what is right, but doing what is right especially for those who have been most wronged, most neglected, most abandoned, most disrespected. We too are called out of our sense of status, our sense of position, out of our comfort zones, and called to think of people through World Renew, by way of the Giving Tree, thinking of people here in our community by the ways we give, even by the boxes we've sent out as gifts, by taking in the community, especially our GEMS program. In all those ways, we are indeed showing that Christ has come to bring both a righteousness and a compassion that the world can only see through him and through his people. Amen.